chapter in Deuteronomy. And then this will be the last message that I'll preach on Pilgrim's Progress. We have been, I don't even know, is John in here? Brother Matthew, do you know how long I've been preaching the Exodus? A couple of years, really? That's all you're going to give me? I thought it'd been longer than that. We've been following the children of Israel out of Egypt for some time. And we have learned the majority of what we have learned, both from Moses and, of course, about the Lord. And we've talked about the tabernacle. We've talked about the commandments of God. We've talked about the family. We've talked about the church. We've talked about absolutely everything under the sun that God reveals in the books of Exodus. And I think the next one's Leviticus. Is that right? And then Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. It's the coolest thing ever. Let me take a pause here. This morning, my son said, "Dad, I'm trying to find the book of Philippians." Braden. Preston knows where the Philippians is, at least I'm pretty sure. And I said, "Oh," he said, "I've looked." He was in the front. He was going through the Old Testament, like some of you thought it was in the Old Testament. He was looking. And I said, "Oh, no, no, it's back there." He said, "No, Dad, I've already looked back there. It's not there." I said, "Well, let me see. I'm pretty sure God left it back there. So let's go back there and look." And sure shooting, I found Philippians. And I said, what are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. And I said, "Well, let's see what it says." And so I read it out loud. And he looked at me with those big, I'm going to cry. He said, "Those are my school verses. And I want to make sure that I read them on my own." And I said, "Wow, that is awesome." And then I never did something that I probably should have done with my other kids. Maybe someone else did it. If you did, thank you. I showed him where the index was. Now, that's pretty novel. And so I said, "Hey, listen, if you ever forget where a book of the Bible is, go right here to this page. And here's the list of them. Oh, look, here's all the list of them." And I said, "Now, look, here's the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. You can read that." And I said, "Look, if you go through here, look, there's Philippians. And I said, "Then there's the page number." And then I flip back there and I look at the page number and I showed him. You say, "What's that got to do with anything?" If there's anything that we've learned about the Exodus, it's the importance of the Word of God. And we need to know what it says so that in a moment we can turn to where that is and say, "Oh yeah, I remember. Now I remember." Do you know why? Because we've also learned of the detriment of forgetting. If there's one thing that God said over and over and over, he said, "Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget my words. Don't forget your purpose in life." And this preaching on the Pilgrim's Progress has been really, in many ways, a parallel of our journey. Now, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. We learned that. We know that now. At least I hope that you've learned that. It's not a picture of finally they get over the Jordan and they're in heaven. If that's a picture of heaven, that's a bad picture of heaven because they had a lot of wars to fight. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to realize the war's already been won. There's no more fighting. And so this journey has been a long one. And if you're not, you know, and perhaps it's fresh to me because I'm in it every week and the context stays fresh. But as a Christian, when you study the Bible, you've got to stay that way. You've got to systematically study it so you can understand it. Because if you don't understand it, it's really no abuse to you. It's no use to you at all. It's just a book full of words. But when you pray and ask God and you remember the context and you get an understanding of it, now what you've done is you've purchased the truth at any cost. You've decided to, by wisdom, separate yourself and incline yourself to it and say, "God, I want to learn this because it's important. I want your grace and mercy to be bound about my neck. It's going to be an ornament of that. And I want to hide your words in my heart." So I'm going to close this series tonight talking about a man that we all know as Moses. Moses was a great man of God. He is noted throughout Scripture, and we know him. We're very familiar with him, but I wonder if we've ever taken a look at it like we're going to look at it tonight. And look at Moses' life in brevity and say, okay, what is the biggest thing that we can take away from Moses' life in its entirety and use for us? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 1. "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho." Now remember, where are the children of Israel at right now? They're on the edge of what river? Say it out loud. Jordan. Okay, so Moses now has been spending the last month of his life in preparation of these people to go across the Jordan. And all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah under the utmost sea. Whoa, back up. And the Lord showed him, verse 1, all the land of Gilead unto Dan and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah under the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. And I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. Who's the he there? Who? God, because he and God were the only two that were there. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. And watch this. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. That's God's testimony of the man we're going to look at tonight, an example to follow. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Bible. Lord, I ask that you'd help us tonight, illumine our hearts, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray you'd give us understanding. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom. And I pray that you would speak to us directly. Father, I yield myself to you again afresh and anew. I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I can be filled with your spirit and used for your glory. God, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a vessel meet for the master's use. So make me thus. I pray you would not have to in my lifetime have to make me another vessel, but rather the one that you have called to be the pastor of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. I pray that you'd help us tonight as a church family. Pray that you'd help us as men and women of God, as young people of God. Help us, Lord, to live like Moses lived before you and face to face. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the capital of the United States of America, if you ever decide to go there. By the way, how many have ever been to Washington, D.C.? Anybody been there? If you look carefully, you'll notice either... you'll find either a picture or some sculpture relief of Moses in various places. The Supreme Court of the United States, the Capitol Building, the House of Representatives, and even in the Library of Congress. And of course, to most people, Moses will forever be the great lawgiver. And certainly that's the representation there in our country, and perhaps rightly so. It was, in fact, Moses who went up to the mountain of God and brought down the what we know as the Ten Commandments and the law from the hand of God. And then he brought them to the people and gave them to them. Especially to the Jews, they would know him as the lawgiver because that's what he really is. But what is he to us? I mean, after all, we're not Jewish. Not that we're not under the law, but we are under grace. We've been set free from the law because God saved us. We understand that we cannot live by the standard of the law. No man's ever justified by the law. And so we know Moses as, we would say, a character in the Bible. We would say a historical figure in the history of Israel. But I would submit to you that he's a historical figure to Christianity and a very key figure. In fact, God said there's not been a prophet like him, no, not one. And all that he did, he was greater and mightier than all. Through our journey with the people of Israel from Egypt to the edge of the promised land, we've been talking about the progress of a pilgrim toward the inheritance that God has planned for every believer. And through these final chapters of Deuteronomy, we have seen Moses pouring his final breaths into the people of God, Israel, and preparing them for now the conquest of Canaan, all the while knowing that he would not be able to go with them. In fact, the last conversation he has with Moses is, I want you to see all this. This is what I promised Abraham way back when I called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And by the way, you're not going in. Now, God reminds him of that. And I really don't know why necessarily. Maybe it's because Moses really still wanted to go. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, he saw all that he was going to miss out in his life. His death becomes then a recurring subject in the final chapters, and some 9 times he brings it up. And I believe I know why. It's not to accentuate his death, but to remember his life. Because the very last portrait that God paints of Moses, though he may not get to go in because of a failure, he points out all that he did for God and how wonderful it was for him to meet with Moses. As we close this journey of faith and begin the journey of a new year, I want us to take a quick look at Moses' life as an example to follow. And really, why? There were times when Moses complained to God because his work was difficult. And more than once, he was ready to quit. But in spite of these very, as we would know them, human experiences or weaknesses, Moses was a faithful servant of God. In fact, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3 for a moment and look with me at a few verses, in the matter of faithfulness, Moses is even compared with Jesus Christ. Now look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Now remember, Hebrews is written to Jews who have been what we say is completed. They have been saved. And the intent of the writer is to show them that there is a far better way than that of Judaism and the law. The better way is through Christ. There was an old covenant, now there's a new one. There's an old testimony or testament, now there's a new one. And here in Hebrews chapter 3, at the very beginning of the letter, here's what he says in verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle." Now that's Jesus, that's why it's capitalized. "And the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him," listen, "as also Moses was" what? Faithful. Say it again. Faithful. We'll say it again. "As Moses also was faithful in all of his house." So God is the one that put the parallel up there. As Jesus Christ was faithful in God's testimony, so was Moses. Verse 3, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was," what's the next word? "Faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to speak to be which were to be spoken after." Now, it's not my terminology, it's God's terminology that said twice that as Christ was faithful, Moses was faithful in all of his house. And then he says this, "as a servant." Now, I find that very interesting. What can we learn from Moses' life that would encourage us tonight? What could we learn at the beginning of this year from Moses' life that would challenge us to continue on for the Lord like he did? Now, if you go back in your Bible reading or you go back in your mind's eye and you look where Moses started and you look at every event in Moses' life, and rather than reading of all the children of Israel, just read where Moses is mentioned and you follow his inspired biography, you're going to see what I believe God gives us 4 distinct characteristics that made him a faithful servant that continued. Now, man, if there was ever a preacher, a pastor, or a man of God that ever, at least in the world's economy, or sometimes in our eyes, had reasons to quit, it was Moses. But he never quit. He decided that he was going to see this thing all the way through to Jordan. So I want you to take your notes tonight and notice these characteristics. What makes Moses worthy of being followed? What is it about his life that God says he was so faithful about? Well, first of all, if you look at all that where Moses is mentioned, you'll find that Moses was faithful in his walk with the Lord. Now, what I'm going to say tonight is not new. There's nothing that I'm going to say tonight that you're going to go, man, that's the most profound thing I have ever heard in my life. I cannot believe that he said that. It's right there in the scripture. I never read it. I never thought about being faithful to my walk with the Lord. It's not that we've never thought about it. Many of us have just not been very good at it. And yet Moses was. If you look in Scripture, one thing that God testifies about concerning Moses is that he spent time with God. Moses and God walked together. But not just that he spent time with God, God tells us how he viewed it. In verses, in Exodus 19 and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So we know at the very beginning that it was God and Moses that were speaking. And yet in Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses, listen, face to face. Now that's a great description of how we should speak to God. Face to face. That's pretty close distance. I have a tendency in many times, given the occasion, to invade people's personal zone. And if you're, you know, kind of like me, you're kind of touchy-feely and kind of a hugger, you don't mind that. But some people mind it. And they don't necessarily. There's some people in this room sitting on this half of the building, on that side, on the end, in the middle of the auditorium, who really don't necessarily like it when you get up all in their grill. And so that what that does to people like me is it makes me want to do it even more. But the fact of the matter is, listen, God likes it when you get that close. God said, I'm going to tell you the way I see Moses and me communicate. It's like he's right here. Is that the way you describe your devotions? In the last 7 days in the new year, would God describe your walk with him that close? Man, that's close. Face to face. God said in Moses, I speak unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh, watch this, unto his friend. Is God your friend? Do you speak to him as if he is your friend? Or is he this far off figure that is hypothetical at best? Because Moses was face to face with God. He spent time with the Lord. He turned again into the camp. The Bible says in Numbers 12 and verse 7, My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak, listen to this, mouth to mouth. Wow. I would say that's pretty clear communication. I would say there was no question in God's mind or Moses' mind what was being said or received anytime Moses walked with God. I don't know about you, that convicts me to no end. I wonder if God would describe my walk with him as face to face. Or mouth to mouth. Or as a man speaks to his friend. Boy, if there's ever a friend that sticks closer than a brother, it's my Father. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would speak to me as a friend. But I don't know. Maybe it's sometimes, do we speak to him like he's that kind of a friend? The Bible says, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? If there's one thing I believe that every Christian needs to be encouraged in, it's their walk with God. It's their daily communion with God. George Mueller, after having read the Bible, listen, through 100 times. That's a lot. After reading the Bible through 100 times, with increasing delight, made this statement, and I quote, I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say to me, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I cannot find time for the Scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than 50 years, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have every year been receiving 30,000 letters. Most of these have passed through mine own hands. Then as a pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, he said, I have had charge of 5 immense orphanages. Also at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and his word. The blessing, he said, I have received has been wonderful. George Mueller, I would gather, at least in my humble opinion, that God would say, yeah, I speak to George face to face. Yeah, I speak to George mouth to mouth. Robert Murray McShane said, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing more. Wow. Whatever I am in secret with God, that's who I really am. Now, based on that, I could give the invitation right now and it would be worthy. We would say, God, I want to have that kind of a walk this year. I want to get up tomorrow and I want to have a good time over the Word of God. I want to walk with you. I want to be involved in you. I want to let you in and I want to speak to you mouth to mouth. Pretty amazing when you look at Moses. God says he was faithful in all of his house. How did God come to that conclusion? Because Moses was faithful in his walk with God. Secondly, Moses was faithful in listening to God's word. The secret to his life wasn't in his own abilities or in the education that he received in the classrooms in Egypt. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 7, verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So long before he gave up the treasures, many believe, in fact, that he was next in line as Pharaoh, Brother Jim. Many believe that he was the prince of Egypt. He was the next Pharaoh to be. And yet in all of that, in all of his wisdom being raised in that, his greatness was not in his literal education. His greatness was not found in the words that he received at the hand of Pharaoh or all of his instructions. His confidence was in all that God said to him. It was God's word that made him confident. Exodus 3 and verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. If there was ever a great beginning of Moses' faith, it was in the personage of God. I am the everlasting God. I am the Almighty God. You're wondering why this bush doesn't consume with the fire. I'll tell you why. Because I am. That's why. He said, I want you to know what makes me so effectively faithful is that I hear what God says and it matters to me. He's the great I am and I'm nothing without him. It goes on in Exodus 4 and verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it and it became a rod in his hand. Oh, you see, when God spoke it, it meant something to Moses. The Bible says in verse 19, the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return unto Egypt. In Exodus 19, 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. Deuteronomy 31, 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Wait a minute, that's totally different. What about the verses all in between? We could spend the rest of tonight and into tomorrow over all the references to God said to Moses. That would be the dash in between the I am and Exodus 31. You're going to die, Moses. Well, how did Moses live? Well, if you walk with God, you better take a good time to listen to him, don't you think? I mean, he just didn't spend time in the arena and kind of dance around it. He actually listened to what God had to say. Now, Moses strikes me as the kind of man who never grew tired then of God speaking to him. Never got used to it. It just seems that he was faithful in listening to his word. Perhaps in the last months of 2017, you as a Christian begin to fade in your reading or hearing of the Word of God. As this year is still in its infancy, can I just encourage you to follow Moses' example of listening to God speak through His Word? Because, He is still speaking. Let's be honest. Faithfulness, however, is more than just a function of listening to God's Word. It goes beyond just hearing it. It grows into a heart to obey it. Thirdly, Moses wasn't just faithful in listening. He was faithful in following God's orders. So it wasn't a matter of Moses just spent time with God, came down and relayed the words to them and said, okay, this is now your words from God to obey. Oh, no, no. He did it himself. Numbers chapter 17 and verse 11. And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. Boy, that's a great life verse. You could put your name there. And Kyle did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. As the Lord commanded you, you should do. Now, that's where really we could say the Moses meets the road. The rubber meets the road. The rubber Moses meets the road. Pretty soon I'll have a rubber kitchen meeting, a rubber chicken meeting the road. The fact of the matter is, we can do all the listening in a sterile environment that we want. But that does not make us faithful. You could be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, hear every preaching, not miss a podcast. You can do all the memorization of Awana verses that you possibly can get a hold of and leave here, listen, and be backslidden. Because all you're doing is listening. Now look, it begins with listening. But James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but be ye what of the word? I'm sorry, what? Let's say it one more time. Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, Moses would not be known as the most meek man ever to walk the planet, listen, if all he did was listen. Because knowledge puffeth up. Man, I know everything that God's ever said. Okay, what have you done about it? He would have been the greatest hypocrite of all time, and Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 6, is never written. But instead, Moses did so as the Lord commanded him. Perhaps for many of us in 2018, it could be themed with one word, obedience. Maybe that's what's going to change your life for Christ, is this year, instead of just listening to the words of the preacher or listening to the podcast or listening to the word of God and just reading it, maybe it's time to start following it, amen. Maybe it's time to start finally putting it into your life and into your marriage and into your family. I don't know. But God said, I want you to see a man that I've been dealing with for 80 years. I put him through the ringer 40 years, and then I gave him a postgraduate degree in the wilderness under my hand, and it took him 80 years. Well, that's a pretty good testimony that Moses would stick to it, that he would walk with God, that he listened to God, but better, he would follow God's orders and be faithful. There's one thing we cannot do too much of. It is obeying God's word. Listen, and by the way, not just some of it, but all of it. The Bible says in Exodus 15, 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with thee, and that you prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Now, again, I could take another half hour and talk about all the times God said unto Moses, Moses turned around and said it unto the people, and Moses decided to obey, whether they did or not, by the way. All the times that God said all my statutes, all my commandments, all my judgments, and yet the Bible testimony of Moses is Moses did so as the Lord commanded. Now listen, obedience is the key to everything good in our life. To everything being worked out together for good. It all hinges on obedience. And we know this. Weeks we have spent in saying that the blessings of God hinge on our obeying his commands. The inheritance of the riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory that all belong to us hinge on our obedience. Moses was that faithful, faithful in his walk, faithful in listening to God's word, faithful in following all of God's orders. And then number four, as you look at the life of Moses, there's another characteristic that pops off the page. And it is that Moses was faithfully devoted to God's people, faithfully devoted to people. On at least two occasions, the Bible says that God offered to wipe out the Jewish people and begin again with Moses. Two occasions. I'm done. I'm going to kill them all. Now, If it were a couple of us in this room, we'd have said, oh yeah, do it. If he'd have come to me and said, I'm done. I'm going to wipe them all out and I'm going to start with you in your seat. I'd have been like, awesome, finally. Everybody would be just like me. Some of us, that's the way we are. Moses wasn't like that. Moses rejected God's offer to be the next Noah. That's not a bad thing. Noah walked with God. In fact, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But Moses said, God, don't do that. Please, God, don't do that. No, 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 Lord, I don't want people to think of you that way. I want people to think of you as the God that brought them out of Egypt, that you are capable of making sure that all this works together for good. You are full of mercy and of compassion. God, don't use me. What happened? Well, letter A, he was a faithful intercessor for God's people. Exodus 32:10, now therefore let me alone. My wrath waxed hot against them that I may consume them. And verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Numbers 16:3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves among the congregation of the Lord. Watch this. And Moses heard it and he fell upon his face. Man, unbelievable. What do we find? We find Moses faithfully devoted to people. When they deserved, listen, wrath and judgment and chastening. What did Moses do? Fell on his face. Pleaded to God for them. Boy, that's a turn. Faithfully devoted. Faithful intercessor to God's people. And because of that, letter B, he became a faithful instrument for God's glory. Moses was a true shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Turn back, if you will, just a couple of pages, if you're in Deuteronomy, Exodus 32 and verse 30. Exodus verse 32. Is everybody still awake? Three or four of you? Exodus 32. Look at verse 30, if you will. It came to pass in the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you've sinned a great sin. Now I will go up to the Lord, unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, notice what he says, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, it's going to be the ones that I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. What was Moses willing to do? He was willing to die for the people who didn't deserve to live. He became an instrument for God's glory. The Lord prepared Moses for his ministry. It took him 80 years, and his life is a picture of faithfulness and surrender to the will of God. And his example encourages us to do the same because, watch this, in being faithful to walk with God, in being faithful to listen to God's word, in being faithful to obey and follow the orders of God, in being faithfully devoted to the people that he was responsible for. Do you know who he became like? Jesus. Remember back in Hebrews chapter 3? The comparison is there. He's a faithful servant of Christ. And you have to look back at the holy biography to see that Moses was faithfully serving God And as he grew in those years, he became like Christ. Now watch this. There's a twofold principle I want to give you. The first principle is that of surrender. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." No matter what happened, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the issue, Moses said, "Okay, God, you are the Lord of my life. I'm going to give in." He surrendered. The second principle is that of simply the Savior. Now watch. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren." What's God's goal for our life? The same as it was for Moses. Who was God fashioning Moses to be like? Jesus. And it worked. Why? Because he surrendered to be like the Savior. If God could take Moses off of the back of the mountain in Midian, who, "I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that," to become what God describes at the end of Deuteronomy, he can do the same with you and I if we will but surrender and say, "God, if there's one thing I want to do this year in obedience, is I want to be like Jesus." He said, "Now, wait a minute, you preached about Moses. Shouldn't we want to be like Moses?" "Yeah, I guess if you want to be like Moses, but I'd rather be like Jesus." Moses, in many ways, in many respects, comes across as very Christ-like. Listen to this. By the way, that's God's goal for us. Moses was born into a godly home like Jesus. His life was threatened early. When Moses gave up the treasures of Egypt, it was like Jesus who became poor that he might share his spiritual riches with us. Moses was a very meek man. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly of heart." Moses finished the work of God gave him to do, and so did the Son of God on Calvary. Before he returned to heaven, Jesus left trained disciples behind to continue the work of the Lord in evangelism. Moses left Joshua and the elders behind to guide the people of the Lord. Our Lord's face shone on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses' face shone when he came down from meeting with God on the same mount. Moses was mighty in words and deeds, and so was Jesus on the earth. The only perfect example I would decree tonight is Jesus Christ. But when we read about Moses, he reminds us of our Lord so much that it encourages us to become more like Jesus in everything. You could say that Moses continued in the things that he had learned and been assured of from the very hand of God. And the result, what makes him an example to follow, is the person that he was following. He was following Christ. Years ago, the communist government in China commissioned an author to write a biography of Hudson Taylor with the sole purpose of distorting the facts and presenting him in a bad light. They wanted to discredit his name, the name of this consecrated missionary of the gospel. As the author was doing his research, he was increasingly impressed by Taylor's godly character in his life. And he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assigned task with a clear conscience. And eventually, at the risk of losing his own life, he laid aside his pen, renounced atheism, and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Whether we realize it or not, our example leaves an impression on others. I just don't know until we get to heaven if the people of Israel knew what they had before them in Moses. But I know that according to God's word, he wanted every person who ever would pick up a copy of the word of God to always know what they had in Moses. And God says, what Moses had, you've got. Now here's the cool part about this. You are so more blessed than any person of Israel, head and shoulders, who have ever lived, and what you have as a Christian and the resources you have today, by far. Now, there's nothing than hindering us tonight to saying, "Lord, I want to be an example worth following. I want you to do your work in me. I want to be like Christ. I want to be faithful to walk with you." That may be a decision that you need to make tonight. "God, I want to be so faithful. I need your help." It's like I said today, You don't need God's help to live outside of the will of God. You only need his help to live in the will of God. That's the case. Maybe that's the surrender. Maybe tonight you need to say, Lord, I've just not been listening very well. You're distracted. You're listening to all kinds of other things. Lord, I want to make a decision tonight. Will you forgive me for not listening? Better, Lord, I know if I've not been listening, I've not been obeying. Or maybe I have been and I've just been deceiving myself that listening is enough. Nobody ever changed spiritually or grew just by listening. It requires a doing. And then lastly, maybe the people around you that you could intercede for. And then God would make you that instrument of glory. You could pray for your neighbor. You could pray for that lost loved one. You could intercede for them and not necessarily say the words, God, whatever it takes, chasten them, bring them back. You could pray something like this. God, would you have mercy on them? Like you had mercy on me. Would you please have mercy on them? God, please have mercy on them. Save them. Work in their life. Have mercy on them. Please. And then maybe God would change your heart so much that he would use you to lead them to Christ. He would use you to bring them back to the fold. I don't know, but here's what I know. Moses was awesome. You read God's testimony of Moses, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and you go, wow, what an example to follow. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do testify tonight again that your word is perfect, and Lord, we need it so bad. Father, you've given it to us, not as a secret, but as an open sword to take and use in victory as we believe it and as we follow and obey it. I pray that every Christian here tonight has been challenged in at least one way that they could continue in the faith. That they would be an example, that we all, Lord, would be an example to follow. Help us to be like Christ. God, I don't think it's a bad thing to say I want to be like Moses or I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like Joseph of old. God, really, these men that you have highlighted in Scripture were all, in essence, just trying to be like Christ. You painted a wonderful picture of the man of God we know as Moses, the great lawgiver, is a great example to follow. May we be that kind of Christian. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I'm going to have you stand together with me. I'm going to have Miss Stolnaker begin to play I Surrender All.